Okay. All right. Recording is going.
Welcome, everyone, to this Venus Signature Series class that will explore the relationship and alchemy between the Sun and Venus. I'm Kaylin Castell here with Tammy Brunk, and we are so delighted to share with you how the Sun helps to inform our Venus expression for both women and men. So it feels important to honor the timing for this particular class as we are just passing through the first gate. And first chakra, reclaiming a healthy root chakra. And that was exact yesterday when Venus and the Moon were conjunct exact yesterday. And then this is really honoring Venus in her ascent. And we're still in the window today. So just wanting to energize that piece as we're doing our work here today. Also, we did have a really powerful class on Sunday preparing for this phase of the Venus journey with ceremony and intention. And so it's really great that we get to dive deeper into the Venus cycle as well as now what we're doing here with the Venus Signature Series. So if you're not in our Venus Evening Star class, we would love to have you join us as we work with the Divine Sovereign Queen, or the Leo Overtone, and she is now in her ascent journey. So this is really a remarkable way to fully engage the Venus cycle, and it doesn't matter if you're in a Venus return or not, although if you are, you definitely want to be involved. But if you're not, it's still, we're working with the Divine Sovereign Queen. We're working with the Venus journey collectively as well as for people personally. So if you're interested, you can find out more about the Evening Star Series at venusalchemy.com. And we're going to have monthly classes into February. So we'd love to have you be a part of this with us again. Also, we do have a new member for our class, and she goes by Jessica or Gwen. In the Gwen. Handout, it's yeah. Jessica, but on Facebook, it's Gwen. So just want to welcome her to the class. And also, because we do have a new member, just to, again, do the reminder that we're covering a lot of content. It's a lot to take in. So give yourself time to assimilate what we're doing here. And just know that we are definitely creating new neural pathways in the brain as this is cutting-edge material, and it's expanding our understanding of these mysteries and as we are embracing more and more levels of Venus. So, you know, I just want to say for Tammy and I that it's doing that exactly for us, and we've been working with this for quite a long time. So what's really fun for us is to experience this expansion. And because, of course, both Tammy and I have a lot of fire.
Yep.
We love to have new things to explore. those have been really great for us. Anyway, if you're listening to this via the phone or on the recording, it will be helpful for you to have the PDF handout. If you're online with us, then we'll be making that available, that you'll be able to see that as we're going through it. So you won't need it as much. Anyway, we just want to encourage you to take note of any questions or insights or anything that comes up along the way so that when we, and anything that might come up in the breakout sessions as well, so when we do the Q&A at the end, then, you know, you maybe had a note or something so you don't forget. So just jot down a note as it comes up. And so before we dive into the class, we're going to take a moment to create a little sacred space and get grounded through breath, through movement, through both, whatever works for you. And as you're getting grounded, know that we're inviting the goddess to continue guiding our journey along with the circle of grandmothers, who, with their ancient wisdom, can also guide us in understanding how we can best celebrate our own Venus-Sun alchemy. As we affirm our intent for this entire series and all things Venus alchemy, to totally and completely support the emerging goddess in every one of us, both men and women, in all her many forms and expressions, in the best, most magical, healing, useful, and loving way possible, it is done, it is so, and we give thanks. Blessed be.
That's a D. Thank you, Karen.
Yes, my pleasure. And I'm going to pull this up again. Oh yeah, make it big. And oh no, but at first I have to. Sorry, I'm going to share screen and then make it big. Okay. So, we're ready, I think.
All right. Excellent. Have you shared your screen?
Oh, I did. I thought. It's not showing up? Oh, here we go. I missed a step.
Excellent.
Okay. All right. There we go.
Perfect. Okay.
Yay.
So, I'll start with a little overview. So in this, in our time together today, what we're going to be doing is really, we're going to start by kind of going back for a moment and speaking into what it might look and feel like to have Moon and Venus in the same sign, because this is something we neglected to bring in last time, and it's also very important. And then we're going to really start our dive into, how is it that when we bring the sun into the equation, how does that deepen our understanding of Venus and the goddess that we are bringing in? So sun is energetic style, what we're dealing with when we look at the projection of the sun sign, what it might look and feel like to have sun and Venus in the same sign, how it might show up for men to have sun, to work with their sun and Venus alchemy, and then we'll be doing a journey, kind of an activation to support you in really feeling this in the body, really bringing it in. And then we will, again, go over home play and have a breakout. So it feels to me like we're getting a little less complex as we go, which I think is actually pretty nice. So we'll see how it feels as we actually go through, but more space and time for just deepening into it. So that's the overview.
Yay. So, yeah, Moon and Venus in the same sign. And so we have a couple of people in the class that have Moon and Venus in the same sign. And gratefully, somebody pointed out to us that we completely missed that in the last class. We were so busy trying to get ready for that class and also the Sunday class and then again this class. So somehow it just escaped our notice. So just something to know is that when they're in the same sign, there's no additional synthesis that's required, but the challenge of having Moon and Venus in the same sign is to feel into if you're working with it progressively or regressively. So if it's regressive, oftentimes we can see it from the place of addictions, particularly if Moon and Venus are in Capricorn, Cancer, Libra, or Pisces, and those are giver energies or relational. And so, you know, being addicted to relationships or being addicted to being a giver, that can be a challenge for somebody who has Moon and Venus in the same sign, because they really are here to do it in a new way, but what's the new way? And it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, how it's been expressed in the past. And if the Moon and Venus are in an unrecognized archetype by the patriarchy, then what maybe this may be about is healing the wounds of that archetype. So if we think about Scorpio, Virgo, Taurus, some of those particular expressions that aren't really supported by the culture, then the first thing that has to happen is to get a healthy relationship, particularly from the moon's perspective. And one of the things that the rising sign does, and that's the class we'll be looking at next week, is it will provide clues or keys to how Venus and the moon are here to support the new personal identity. So those are the main things that, main points that we were thinking about. And I might have missed something. Tammy, can you think of anything that needs to be...
I don't think so, except I just know, you know, I know for myself, and maybe you've sensed this too, it's just when you see a person who has Moon and Venus in the same sign, it just gives you such a strong sense that they're doing such, we're all doing such beautiful essential work, but it is such essential work to be untangling that old archetype and bringing the new one in. So you know, it's really, it's a powerful position to have, and it's definitely not like you're just doing one thing. There's a lot of deep work happening. And also just that Mary had asked the question, isn't this true if Moon and Venus are in the same element as well? And I think, I guess, Kaylin, you can speak to that too. I would say that it's a little different because, for example, you might have, like, it's going to feel very, you know, different to have Fire Aries Moon versus Sagittarius Moon. You know, that's going from, it's
I don't know. What would you say, Kaylin? Well, because it'll also be in a different modality, so it'll be in the same element. So there's aspects of it that could be the same, you know, the fiery energy. But for me, I have Moon in Sagittarius and Venus in Aries. So Moon in Sagittarius is in service to spirit. Very, very, and a renunciate kind of archetype. So very different than Venus in Aries that is householder, here to learn how to, you know, it's like having done the renunciate path and not really necessarily engaged as a leading edge of what I was doing in the past, being in a householder energy, that's been a big piece of what I've been doing. So it would be different in that regard. So not always the same.
And so, and Mary's asking another question. I think what I'm going to recommend that we do is that we hold the chat questions until the very end for the breakout.
Cool.
Just so we keep continuing. Thanks, Mary. Keep, if you have questions, that's a fine way to initiate the Q&A as well, is to have some questions in the queue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. So the sun is considered the fuel or the energetic style that we move through life with. And one of the things to keep in mind is that the sun is in a sign for 30 days, and it actually locates you in the seasonal cycle. So you may be born at the time in the time of winter or the time of spring or the time of summer or the time of fall, and there's certain nuances to each of those seasons. And so wherever the sun is, it's in that sign for 30 days, bringing that energy to whatever it is that we're doing. So one of the reasons that sun sign astrology became so popular is because it's easy to know your sun sign. It's only changing once a month, once every 30 days. Where on the moon is actually changing signs every 2.5 days. The rising sign is changing every 2 hours. So these are more personal, but also not so easy to know. So this is one of the reasons why the sun got elevated to a place of such great importance, and so many people have identified themselves with their sun sign. But what we're seeing is that it's not archetype specific, it's actually the energy. It's that source of energy that is available to us when we're born, and it's intended to help get us to our current life intent. My favorite saying is the sun shines on everything. It doesn't shine on one person and not the other, or not on one side of the street and not the other. So it's really infusing and influencing every area of our life. It's not just our relationships. It's not just our way of expressing, sacred work or whatever it might be. It's everything that we're involved in, the sun is involved in. So that's just an important piece to keep in mind. And so it really adds insight into the style of energy that's influencing Venus, and especially, you know, for women as the emerging feminine identity, and for men the connection to the inner feminine. So the next couple of slides are just some words to help describe the fuel of the sun. So we're not going to go through these specifically, but they're there for you, for your information, and to tune into and see how it fits for you. Of course, you know your sun sign. Everybody knows their sun sign.
Gets to the next slide. So one of the things that's so intriguing, I know when I first started doing charts and really studying astrology, I quickly noticed that, everybody, of course, identifies with their sun sign. For some, it may be a really positive thing. It's like, yeah, I'm a Leo, and I'm really proud of that, and I love Leo. Maybe you've moved into it in your life, and if it's something you have a positive identification with, that people have projected in a positive way on you, then it can be, you know, really good. And it can be something that you really step into really easily. It's just like, this is something, there aren't a lot of blocks around it. Sometimes it can even be the case that I'm sure you've met people like this, Kaylin, who are just like, I don't even like astrology because I'm a Scorpio, and about what people say about me, or I'm a Virgo. And so there are all these projections that really don't work or might not feel accurate. And so, again, it can be kind of like, it can help you step into that energy more quickly because it's something you've had projected onto you. You're going to probably know a lot more about that sign, and you probably will know a lot of the kind of distorted or shadow, kind of simplistic or caricature of the sign, as well as the deeper mysteries, if you've heard the deeper mysteries of the sign. So if, for example, you have a sun sign that's out of favor, you know, you will kind of have those projections specifically. But also what can happen is that your whole life you may have been told you're this sun sign, and you're kind of like, you know, it doesn't really feel right to me. It doesn't feel accurate. And that can be because maybe your sun and your Venus are in very different energies. So, of course, there's a lot more to it than that. So it's just when you give a reading to someone, when someone rediscovers what their Venus sign is, and it brings in that whole recognition, it can be like an activation. It can kind of wake a person up to this whole other dimension of who they are. So it's an exciting, thing. And for me, my Venus and my sun are on the same sign. And so that didn't happen for me so much, but Kaylin, it was different for you, right?
Yes, because I'm Venus in Aries with a Pisces sun. And so, of course, I had Pisces projected onto me because that's far more accepted for the feminine expression than the more fierce Aries expression. So I actually got to a point where I wouldn't tell people that my sun was in Pisces. I told them it was in Aries because I wanted the Aries projection because I needed to move more into the Aries part of myself. It's like,
that's actually an exercise, Kaylin. That can be something we can tell people to do.
Yeah. It was good. It was really good because I was, you know, when I got to be 40 years old and I was still really operating out of Pisces, I was like, okay, enough of that. I'm ready for something different. It is interesting how much we can be projected on by our sun sign, and especially if it's one for women that's accepted by the culture, or men that's accepted by the culture. If you get that projection, it can keep you kind of locked into that until you make a conscious choice to move towards the something else that's being defined on your chart, a part of you. And you know, for women, the Venus; for men, the Mars.
Yeah.
And rising sign also.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yep.
And Venus and the sun tend to be, they will quite frequently be in the same sign. So it's not an exact thing, but about one in every five people have Venus and the sun in the same sign. We actually see this in this class. It's pretty close. We have 9 out of 46 have sun and Venus in the same sun sign, or about 20%, which is pretty close. Venus and the sun in the same sign can show up as either morning star, underworld, or evening star. So except for the star phase of Venus, if the sun and Venus are in the same sign, it doesn't add an additional information. You know, it's like in the sense that it doesn't add another archetypal, or it doesn't add any more...
Another layer.
Yeah. So, but it is what it is, and I can say this for myself as well. It's just a really strong statement of intent to say, you know what, there's just no question. I'm here to embody the Sagittarius goddess. Sun, Venus, and Sagittarius, not in the underworld. It's just like there's this clarity to that. So it's just, you know, you'll see we're going to do an exercise at the ending, and it's an activation. It involves movement. And so for those of us who have sun and Venus in the same sign, it's like our lives. You know, we have this full invitation to say, just fully embody that goddess. You don't have to go and get more complex. I mean, of course, you have all these other layers, but in terms of who your goddess is, you know, the archetype of your goddess, it is so clearly that. So it you could... You know, Kaylin, I don't know. I mean, my ascendant is in Aries, so it's kind of a similar sort of thing because my signs show up in the same house, that is resonant with the sign, it's, I could almost say that it almost is like it adds Aries. It gives a clarity. It's like, here's who you are. But that makes it more complicated.
Anyway,
celebrate that that is what you're working with. And just it's like, magnify that. Work with that. It's clear.
Indeed.
And and then speaking into the Sun and Venus in the man's chart, Kayla and I have spent some time also exploring this and really looking at how we've looked at this when we've done readings and how shamanic astrology approaches this. And really the reality is it's not something we've spent a whole lot of time focused on in shamanic astrology, getting to this nuance. And so it's something that, you know, shamanic astrology is a very clear way of articulating how these many of these pieces work. But we're going to propose something based on what we have seen and based on the way the model works. And really, we have questions, maybe more questions than we do, you know, a real full understanding. But what we would say is that we know that the Sun adds fuel or energy to any part of a man's chart. And so his Venus is going to burn the fuel of his Sun. And so it adds another quality if you're focusing in on, as I would propose we're all doing, but men as well. We're focused in on, in this class, really getting a clear sense, image, understanding of the full expression of the goddess that we're here to engage. And so for a man, it adds that layer. The sign of his Sun is going to add that fuel to his goddess. So if his Venus is in Taurus and his Sun is in Aries, he might project that onto his partner, that she should be physically beautiful, sensual, and intimate, but also it might add this sense that he also wants her to take charge of the relationship. So it adds some complexity to that. So as is always the case with men, when he becomes really clear on the full goddess expression, as you would engage that fully, that Sun sign is also something that is to be experienced in kind of an internal way, to be engaged as an aspect of your inner beloved, as well as the fuel that runs through all the rest of your chart. Is there anything else you want to say about that, Kaylin?
No, I think that's great. And other than to say that we're hoping, I think maybe Brett will be coming on, and Peter and Adam are here, and they'll talk to us a little bit about how they experience this. So we can get some more insight into that, because, of course, the thing that is great for Tammy and I is we can really speak to the ones that we live. We might even have some insights about the ones that we don't have, but really from the masculine perspective, we don't live that. So it's really great to get their insights about it. So that'll happen later. So we're going to look at the Sun and Venus by sign. And just a couple of things I want people to know, and especially for those who don't know how to figure this out, but whenever Venus is 10 or more degrees from the Sun, she'll either be a morning star or an evening star, even when she's in the same sign. And we're going to see some examples. The Sun sign and the Venus signs, the Sun sign after the Venus sign. So if Venus is in Pisces and the Sun is in Aries, the Venus and Pisces will rise before the Sun in Aries, so it'll be in the morning sky. The Sun sign before the Venus sign puts Venus in the evening sky. So if the Sun is in Pisces and Venus is in Aries, then it's an evening star. So we'll see some examples. Anyway, if it's in early or late degrees of any of two signs, and we'll see some examples of this, when Venus is less than 10 degrees from the underworld, from the Sun, then it's in the underworld. So they can be in the same sign in the underworld, but they can also be in different signs in the underworld, and we'll see some examples of that. So this is just a little table that's showing the Sun in the early degrees of Pisces and Venus in the late degrees of Aquarius, 10 degrees apart. So that would put Venus in the morning sky because she's rising before the Sun. If we looked at, 8 degrees Pisces and 29 degrees Aquarius, this is 9 degrees apart. So this would put Venus in the underworld. if Venus was at 27 Pisces, and I mean, Sun was at 27 Pisces and Venus at 7 Aries, 10 degrees puts it in the evening sky. So you can look at the rest of these just to get a sense of that, because it's important to know that just because they're not in the same sign doesn't mean that, or they are in the same sign, doesn't mean they are in the underworld or they're not in the underworld. So here's some examples of some charts, and you know, this is, we're seeing here the Sun at 29 Aquarius and Venus at 5 Pisces, so there's only 6 degrees between them, and so this is definitely underworld, even though they're in different signs. Then we have Venus at, or the Sun at 20, almost 21 degrees of Taurus, and Venus at 16 Gemini, and the Sun is rising before Venus, so this puts Venus in the evening sky. 26 degrees apart. Then we have the Sun in the same sign, Sun and Venus in the same sign. Venus is at 2 Leo. The Sun is at 24 Leo. There's about, actually it's not 24 degrees. It should be, say, 22 degrees. Little typo there. 22 degrees, but Venus is in the morning sky because she's in the earlier degrees before the Sun. So this is just a way for you to be able to get a visual of what's going on here in terms of looking at Venus and the Sun and their relationship, and how it's their relationship that really tells us where Venus is in the story. You know, where Venus is in terms of the cycle, whether she's morning star, evening star, underworld. We do have an example of Venus retrograde here, and so this would, and this is Venus before the Sun in the morning sky, and I don't know why it says 21 degrees. That's another little typo. It should say it's like 8 degrees. There's 8 degrees between them. So this is still in the underworld, has not yet risen as a morning sky.
Well, because you're looking at Mercury. It is 21 degrees.
Oh, Mercury. Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
But they're both retrograde.
Right, okay. Right, you're right. Exactly. So, yeah, they are 21 degrees. So morning star, definitely morning star, but has not gone direct yet, so has not begun the descent yet. So, no, you know, these are the things that we can start to know about Venus when we look at the relationship with the Sun, whether it's retrograde or not, and whether it's morning star, evening star. We can know those things simply by looking at the chart. You don't even have to know or look at the table that we've created.
You're not always going to have a table with you, probably.
Right, exactly. So you can figure out those things just by looking at what's going on here. So.
And it's fun because Kaylin actually took charts from members of the class, so you might see yourself there.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, so the synthesis of the Sun and Venus, something to just keep in mind, is that Venus is always the lead archetype. Actually, the Sun is not archetype specific because it is the fuel, so it's not really archetypal. It's rather, you know, the style or the behavior or the way that we're moving through the world. And I will just tell a quick story because this was a big aha. I've been working with this for probably about 5 or 6 years. And because I am Venus in Aries with Pisces Sun, and there was a woman, and I'm a Scorpio rising. There was a woman in a class. She was kind of on my case that I wasn't more aggressive. And she was really, it was like suddenly I just said to her, but I'm burning Pisces fuel. And that was when this light bulb went off, like, oh my God, that's right. It's going to be a kinder, gentler expression of Venus in Aries and Scorpio rising because of the Sun in Pisces. And I had never really gotten it at such a deep level before. It's like, you know, suddenly I had this understanding that I didn't have. Or hadn't really been conscious of before. So just keeping in mind that the Sun really is infusing everything, and so it's infusing Venus, and that you can't, if you don't necessarily relate completely to your Venus sign or to your Sun sign, but you take the two and put them together, because like when I put them together, then it's like, yes, that's who I am. I get it. But just one of them or the other of them doesn't describe who I am fully. So
unless your Venus and your Sun are in the same sign.
Right. Yes. If they're in different signs, you really do need that synthesis. So what we've created for you is just some ideas that we've had about how these combinations could work or how they might show up. So we're not going to go through each of them, but what we would love for you to do is to look at them, especially your combination, and if you have insights or an idea of how you feel that this might work, we'd love to hear about that. So it's just a little exercise that you might want to do. And you can use what we've come up with, you know, because the ones that we live are going to be easier for us to speak into. And the other ones we're just kind of trying to tune in and figure it out. So if it doesn't totally resonate for you, we'd love to hear that, and we'd love to hear what would resonate for you. And or if it resonates for you but you have something to add to it, we'd love to hear that too. So that's...
And it's cool because when Kaylin created this table, she also... and there was much more we could have put in here. She'd also indicated whether it would need to be Evening Star, Morning Star, Underworld... Which you can also kind of look at and say, okay, that's very interesting because it does add a different layer. And it's always going to be that way. So, I mean, well, it's always going to be one of the two, or sometimes always going to be morning or evening.
Right, right. And when they're in the same sign, it can be any of them. Because if it's retrograde, it can be metamorphic underworld. If it's not retrograde, it's the Inanna underworld. It could be morning star or evening star, as we saw in some of the earlier examples. So when the Sun and Venus are in the same sign, then it requires a little more looking into to figure out where. Exactly. But also the sign before and after can be underworld or, and again, it can be either underworld, depending on whether Venus is retrograde or not. So, yeah. We also did go ahead and put in the archetypes of the feminine again, just so you have them handy, so you don't have to go back to an old one to see, to help with your synthesis.
And I think before we move forward too, Kaylin, maybe it might be really good to also say that, you know, this class is one where you will, and actually the next two classes, you're probably going to want to go back to the previous class where we introduced the modalities and the elements and the archetypes, because there will also be that dimension where it's going to relate. You know, if you're shifting, even if it's the fuel, the Sun's the fuel, but it's not the archetype, there's still some of that same energy that we explored. There are some energies, some elements that might sync up more easily or might be a little more challenging. So you might want to revisit that and just see how that applies to you, if it applies for this material.
Yes, absolutely. And in the chart, you'll see that we tell you again, so for those people who don't automatically know that. And just to say, ISS is in service to spirit. And I think that's the only one I abbreviated, in service to spirit.
But also, it's nice that Kaylin, that you put air self-interest, learning how to expand your... You know, she also put kind of the overview of what the Aquarius goddess is about, because, of course, with each of these, again, it's the Venus sign, the goddess represented by Venus, that is the archetype, so you always want to focus on that first.
Right, and then you're adding in the Sun as an additional layer of understanding.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So next, we're doing the journey next, right?
I think we're going to talk about the guide charts.
Oh, we're going to do that before we do the journey?
Maybe we are doing the journey first. Yeah, sure. No, I'm great. Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay, so this is going to be pretty fun. So what I'm going to do is, actually, I'm going to mute you, Kaylin, just to make sure that it's really, the sound is really clear. Do you have anything else you want to add before I mute you?
Mm-mm. Go for it.
Okay. So, just takes me a second. Okay. So what we're going to be doing is, I'm going to recommend that everyone get up here in a moment when you are ready. You're going to want to get up and stand, and we're going to go through a little bit of a movement exercise. So you may want to do this in such a way that you stand away from the screen so you don't feel self-conscious. Some of you might want to make noises. You might want to, like, express verbally. So if nobody's around, you might feel free to do that. But just know you're all muted. So if nobody's around, you can do that. If they are, you might feel self-conscious. But this is a movement exercise. So the first thing we're going to do, I'm going to be drumming. And the first thing I'm going to do is we're going to just shake. This is an exercise we've used in some of our other Venus classes. It's just to kind of shake off whatever's been going on in your day. So I'm going to drum three times. The first time, and each time I finish drumming, I'm going to describe the next movement we're going to do. So this first movement is just to take a few minutes to just stand, to just shake. You might shake your hands first. First your right hand, then your left hand. You might then shake your right leg, your left leg. You might even lay on the floor and shake your feet. You might wriggle around. You might shake your shoulders. But just the idea here is to shake off. The intent is to shake off whatever you're holding from your day, from your week, that is not in alignment with, that will not support you in really deepening into the experience of your goddess. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm just going to drum for a moment while you shake. Anything that holds you back from the full experience of your goddess. Just take a moment. I'm not going to drum for a moment. I want you just wherever you are, if you're standing, if you're lying down, however you're doing this, just take a moment to just feel into your body. And just to be still. To really feel your body and to feel as she, the sign of your Venus, whoever that goddess is, feel how she begins to permeate your being. Feel how she begins to truly infuse every layer of your body. This is for men as well as for women, to truly feel who she is. If she was a color now, what color might she be? How does she feel in your body? If she were a taste, what taste might she be? If she were a sound, what sound might she make? If you want to make that sound, you might make that sound. And now, I'm going to move as this goddess would move, and I'm going to drum. She might be dancing. She might move very slowly. How does your goddess move? Now you've felt and experienced your goddess. If you've had any blocks or barriers, don't worry, it's all perfect, because that's going to also help you get to her. And now, as this goddess of your Venus sign, I'm going to ask that you imagine there's an enormous, beautiful sun in front of you. Just beautiful, just enormous. And you can see, when you look at the sun, you can see, you can sense, you can feel, even before you step into the sun, you can feel the energy of your sun sign. Sense it. Now you're going to step into the sun. And as this goddess, you are now embodied as, you're going to now feel this energy of the sun radiating through every part of you, illuminating you, energizing you with the energy of the sign that is your sun sign. How does it feel? If this energy had a color, what color might it be? If it had a taste, what might its taste be? Feel how this energy strengthens you, nourishes you. See how it ignites the goddess you are. And now, you're going to move as the goddess that you are, infused with, illuminated by, radiating the beautiful fuel of your sun sign.
Does she sing?
now know that this goddess, this beautiful radiant sun energy, is a part of you, it moves through you, it is alive in you, and it is here to serve you and truly stepping into the life, into the joy, into the empowerment, and in the into the contribution that only you can bring. She's here. And when you're ready, you can come back to us. I unmuted you, Kaylin, just in time.
Oh, it was time for the Jets. Right.
Okay. If you're ready, we can go ahead and maybe see if Peter's ready.
Yeah.
Okay, let me unmute you. Wait a second.
So as you're unmuting him, I'll just say Peter is an example of Sun and Venus in the same sign and the same degree. Definitely in the underworld, in the Inanna underworld.
So. Yes, I am.
So tell us what that's like for you.
Well, there's definitely a before and after as I've become more conscious of what it all means. And I have to say I'm really grateful for the Gemini mysteries. Because, man, we know how to have fun. And probably in my more immature years and as I was growing up, the biggest struggle I had with the double dose, I'm going to call it a double dose really, is that learning appropriate behavior. Because, you know, I was born a joker. I was born with the comedic intent and seeing the punchline in everything. And my biggest struggle growing up was keeping my mouth shut. I couldn't. It was almost impossible. I was always going for the comedic jugular, and I hear my wife's jets going overhead.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going to mute.
And I was always in trouble for talking in class. I was always in trouble for saying really inappropriate stuff that to me was funny. And not only to men, but to women especially. So the interesting part about growing up and learning about this has been learning discernment about, even if there's a comedic jugular to stab for, there's no reason to make that cut. And also to use it, my Sun and Venus and my Gemini thing, is being a witness to the human drama, the comedy, versus attracting and engaging the crazy. Because even now I struggle with, in relationships, especially new relationships, not activating the crazy. You know, something that seems exciting and interesting and I have an immediate connection with and it's all great and everything. You know, 5 or 10 minutes later, a day or two later, I'm like, how did I get in this crazy spot with this crazy person? Getting on the crazy train is one thing, but once it's going down the track, it's kind of hard to get off without getting hurt. So it's an ongoing study for me to learn discernment, maturity in my relationships, and also just an appreciation for the observation of the drama, the comedy, the delight, the freedom, the expression of all different people without having to engage, fix, manage, or moderate. And I've been very lucky with my primary relationship with my fiery goddess wife, Kaylin Castell, with both her Sag and her Aries and the Pisces leavening of her being able to, for lack of a better word, call me on my stuff in the way that I can hear it and respond and learn from versus being triggered and engage in drama, separation, ongoing strife and everything. Because we sure do have a lot of fun exploring this, don't we, my beloved?
Yes, we do. Yes.
And she likes to laugh, and I like to make her laugh. that's my delight in having Sun and Venus in the same sign. I love my underworld goddess. I'm becoming to know her more and more. And also the maturity and the delight in being the positive aspect and expression of it.
It's awesome.
It's so great. I mean, and, you know, I think I really appreciate the Gemini aspect that because we connect in the realms of communication a lot. It's one of our favorite places to connect. So
we have never stopped talking with one another ever. There's very
true.
There's very little dead air between us ever, ever, ever. If our eyes are open, our lips are moving. So. And I have learned, being Earth and she being fire, that she's fuel injected and I'm carbureted, so I learned not to make eye contact too early in the morning before I've had my coffee.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Peter. That's awesome.
You're welcome. Thanks. Great class. Love the meditation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Cool. All right. So let's look at Adam.
Oh, whoops, keep forgetting. Adam, sorry. It's like, yes, you need to unmute. Adam, you're easy to find.
Hello.
Okay, you are. Hi, Adam.
Hello. Yeah, I'm a little bit new to integrating the sun in this way because I only heard about it yesterday.
Like, Adam, it's like this. What do you think about it being like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, it's like, well, I might know, and may know more after the class, but I've explored a lot of other aspects that I can talk about. I mean, like, I guess, I don't know if it sounds, I guess it's slightly embarrassing, but, like, the first thing that comes to mind was, like, as a teenage boy, I used to, like, have the Aquarius yearning of, like, back when I was an alien in another life and how great sex was without bodies. So that could be one thing. Why that's my opener, but that's what I'm going with. But to be honest, like, the underworld portion of what I've, that's the latest part that I've really been working with. Because, like, you know, I'm getting all these new little pieces, like, Aries overtone, does that fit? You know, Pisces being, you know, all these little things and trying to integrate it and look back through life and stuff like that. And I'd say the underworld part sort of predominates. Like, I went through a little, like, binge, and I looked up a lot of birthdays of people I went to high school with, like, a lot of, like women that were friends that came and went in my life, and like 90% of them had some strong Scorpio thing going on, which I never knew.
Uh-huh.
So it's like I was always kind of outsourcing that the Scorpionics, you know, outside of myself with women in my life. I think that's one thing I noticed. And, you know, like, but in terms of, like, it adding, like, an aspect that I'm attracted to, maybe, but, like, if a woman is, like, very detached Aquarius from her emotions, or, like, even very fiery and less compassionate, like, I think, like, it's like, I'm attracted to some, like, deep waters that I can, like, empathically dive into, and, like, whoa, this person's got a lot of stuff going on in there, I want to, like, figure it out and explore that emotional landscape or something. You know, so that's, like, the primary thing. Another thing that I wanted to add is the projection thing in terms of, I have Cancer, Moon, and Mars, so they're both in the same sign, and I've had women in my life, like, they want me to be their tech support Aquarius guy, but really, like, secretly, I just want them to, like, see all the emotional giving and how good of a giver I am, but it's less acceptable, so everyone's like, you know, could you look at my printer, you know, help me with my FTP protocol, stuff like that. Comes to mind. But and not to besmirch my Aquariusness. I love that. I want to, you know, rock it amongst the stars, and that's very comfortable to me, but that's not necessarily what I want to be noticed or acknowledged for.
Exactly. Right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, you're really speaking to that piece where why I started telling people I was Aries sun rather than a Pisces sun, because I didn't want the projection of, you know, like, so you might want to play with that. not always having the projection of being...
I mean, I don't tell them that I'm Aquarius. They can just smell it. but it is...
also Aquarius, so, yeah.
I mean, my Mercury's in Aquarius too, but I do find it really challenging to have the Mars and Moon in the same sign. Like, okay, I know the old way that really doesn't work, but like, what is the new way? And even if it's like, you know, it like on paper, like how, you know, how do I access that? Like I related to that statement when Moon and Venus are in the same sign, because I kind of have the opposite version of that.
Yeah, Peter actually has that too. The Moon and
yeah,
Mars.
I wanted to ask him about that eventually, but it hasn't come up yet.
yeah, and you know that what is the new Cancer as opposed to the old ways of doing Cancer? And you have a mastery there that you can call on, but not getting stuck in something that's maybe outdated or outmoded. So
it's challenging.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
And you know, Adam, it occurs to me maybe that's what the Aquarius is for, is that as you come into a synthesis with the Aquarius and the Cancer Mars, then that's part of how it's different. It's a little bit more of a detached version of Cancer.
Yes.
We're working on it.
Yep. Well, because your natural place would be the more attached version, because that's where your, you know, your center of your being is when you come into the life. But it's meant to move to a new way of doing Cancer, and the Aquarius sun is one piece that gives us some information about what that would look like.
I think without the Aquarius, I'd be like drowning all the time. So yeah, it's probably good.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you have Moon and Mars in Cancer, water, but your sun's in Aquarius, air. Peter's Moon and Mars in Taurus, earth, and his sun, of course, his Venus is there too, is in Gemini, also air. So, you know, that is one of those are irrational combinations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the big piece I was playing with, was seeing all the different parts of my chart that were in conjunct or quincunx. And because until you have this terminology, like, you just think that's normal. Like, that's you. Like I'm very emotional and I'm very up in outer space with my rocket ship both, and that's normal, right? But then, you know, I started to kind of tune into, like, very rarely can I do both at the same time. Like, I can write like deep emotional lyrics, or, you know, like rocket off into some Buddhist, you know, witness state, but I, you know, can I do both at the same time? I mean, like, I can write lyrics about my deep Buddhist state, but I started to see how the two don't necessarily mesh well, which I never really thought about, because that just was normal to me.
That's fascinating. I wonder if there's something about your Venus sign and your sun sign also not coming together, because it's like, maybe you'll find yourself someday projecting on a woman that she'd be more detached, and like, wait, oh, that's the sun projection.
I haven't experienced it, because I want the underworld water, and I want the Pisces compassion giver. But yeah, I haven't found myself like wanting the detached, like, anyway, yeah. So when I was thinking back, like, that doesn't ring true for me at this point, but maybe I will keep thinking about it.
Maybe it's more the eccentric aspect.
Right.
Who knows? Or maybe not. Maybe it just doesn't really resonate.
The unique and the unusual aspect of Aquarius.
Well, it's too. Like the galactic bodhisattva. I could kind of relate to that. Is like so if there's some kind of like, if there's like stellar kind of galactic energy with compassion, that makes a little bit more sense than detached.
Mm.
But again, this is just my first thoughts and like just working with it for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Adam.
That's awesome, Adam. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so if
is Brett
is with us. Don't know. He may have called in. If you've called in, Brett, I don't know. Is 206 Washington?
I think so.
I'm going to just take a chance here. Brett?
That's me.
Yay!
That's you. Good. Awesome. Okay. Excellent. Thanks for being on. That's all you got going on.
My treat. Adam, I just want to say in the old ways, they don't smile on Cancer Mars. My Mars is in Cancer too, but you're stoked to have it cohabiting with the Cancer Moon. But let's talk about the new age. So I have Venus in Virgo, and she's the only Earth planet in my chart. And she's right at the midpoint of the Sun Saturn square. She's like a really key player. She's a morning star at her maximum brightness, reflecting Scorpio light. My Sun is in the very first degree of Scorpio. And it's an interesting combination of these two archetypes of Virgo and Scorpio. You know, I don't like to drown in stereotypes, but one is like virgin, and one other is like super sexual. And I think it's something I don't avoid either, because that has played out in my relational experience and in what I'm attracted to. But I think some of what I've experienced more than anything in like the lower levels of that, or the unconscious levels of that combination, is the energy and the life force of Scorpio can really have addictive qualities before we harness it, and being kind of addicted to that. Very independent woman that the Virgo can really be. And I think unconsciously, and seeing that more and more as I look back and play with some of the patterns, seeing this like addiction to the one that couldn't be claimed. You see what I mean? Like, there's all these great stories of Apollo who's like chasing after his love, and she prays and gets turned into a tree or whatever. And there's a bit of that, I think, in this combination that's really interesting. It's interesting to see too, Virgo in a Leo cycle. My Virgo Venus is in a Leo cycle, where she's really shining brightly. I mean, as bright as she got that whole quest. And she's young. She's taking off the crown from the shamanic astrology perspective. But she's not necessarily in that place of... just like renunciate in the woods, Virgo, as sometimes that archetype plays out. She's really visible and really can be seen. And not on my birth time, but that morning, it was like Jupiter, then Mars, then Saturn, and then Venus came to kind of blast them all out of the sky before the sun rose. And I think in that perspective alone, because I have Gemini Moon and Gemini Rising, there's a lot of that kind of spirit energy on my chart. She's helping by reflecting the Scorpio light. She's helping me kind of claim in an eventually reverent way the gift that selfness and the service to self-growth archetype is not selfish or is not unspiritual. I think that's something that I'm here to kind of play with and moving from Gemini and finding my way back there in a new way.
Beautiful.
That's awesome. Thank you, Brett. That's very cool.
Yeah, very well said.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, and thank you also for exploring so deeply and sharing the different layers of your Venus and how that all kind of shows up.
Yeah, I should say, you know, I mentioned a lot of kind of the unconscious and like the difficulties of that combination. Some of that also comes from my Cancer Mars and this like charging in to be like the mothering lover, which can often be very smothering to the priestess. But on the beautiful side, like as my Earth, she helps really ground me, and there's the sense of that grounded body also has the gift and being able to reach its roots into the unseen waters. And so there's a more sacred way to access some of the Scorpio power and to express it and to control it, to serve me rather than serve it to control me when it's suppressed. And I think it's been really important for me to find ceremony and to find key and to find different ways that my Venus Virgo can really shine and be honored so that I can Scorpio in a way that I would rather.
Yes, yeah, so for those who don't know, Brett loves to do like tea ceremony, which is a perfect combination of Venus in Virgo and Sun in Scorpio, because of course Scorpio is water and Venus in Virgo is all about ceremony, so doing tea ceremony is a beautiful way of claiming that inner feminine goddess within yourself through that process.
Yeah, and Cancer Mars is so just to be able to get somebody in a cup of tea.
Exactly. Right. Let me offer you a cup of tea. Let me nurture you with some tea.
But yeah, I mean, one thing that I'm really calling on her more and more for in this time, as this time unfolding, is that she's at this midpoint of my Sun Saturn square, and Saturn and Leo. It's like trying in some senses to challenge that, and I can see so much that she does that as a gift for me to help, like, find the empowerment of confidence and that kind of thing. And she just shows me again and again that if I am grounded, if I'm true to my practice, if I remain in devotion, then that's, like, an aspect that's going to really make me great. And if I'm not, it kind of is a great aspect that makes me small. So I get to swing back and forth with that one frequently.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Brad, do you know how far she is from maximum elongation? Is she pretty close?
She's, she's close. She's at 45 degrees.
That's
She is 45, she's 46 degrees, so she's really close. The maximum elongation in the year of my birth, I think, was 1 week later. In fact, I think tell you. So I was born October 24th, 75, and her maximum elongation was November 6th.
Yeah, that's okay. Really, really close.
Right, it's close, yeah. Cool, thank you. Yeah, it is interesting. It's cool to hear you talk about all of it, because, yeah, to have Venus in Virgo, morning sky, close to maximum elongation. Yeah, just it's a lot of interesting. And what's your overtone again?
Leo. He's in his Venus return.
Yeah, so she's Virgo, and then she's not Virgo in about every way that she could not be. She's just... And I think sometimes it can be like that Virgo nature gets lost in some of the other stuff, but it's when it all comes through, it's like a way that... she's helping me, and I'm helping her, like, challenge that nonsense of Virgo means virginity.
Mm. Yeah.
Or that virgin means celibacy is a better way to say that.
Right.
Right.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Brett, so much.
Yes.
My pleasure.
Great. So, moving... through, have some deepening exercises as always. And again, as last time, you might wish, and of course, this is also true if you're in the Evening Star, the Leo Evening Star class, you may wish to build, renew your altar, your Venus altar, and you might want to integrate elements that have to do with the energy of your sun sign. So, you know, I might put with my sun in Sag, I might choose an image of somebody climbing a mountain peak or myself climbing a mountain peak to remind me of that energy, that fuel that I want to bring into every day. So, you know, whatever it is, it might relate to the element, it might be flame if you're fire, it might be something like that, but to really honor that and begin to work with it. And then also, maybe perhaps to create a collage that brings together your Venus goddess and the energy of your sun, sign into dynamic integrated peace. So again, kind of like the exercise we did, to be able to, again, explore again and again, how these two things feel together. And then also to just, this is something that Kaylin had thought we might begin to do now, and we can continue to do through the rest of the class, to just set the intention and open awareness to see, sense, feel the integration of your Sun Venus alchemy in books, movies, individuals you meet. So maybe you're watching a show, you're watching a movie, you're out connecting with different kinds of people, and you might meet someone or see someone who really feels like they've got this synthesis. From the perspective of Star Trek, also, for example, if you're watching that show, the Klingons, you might see them as a synthesis of Aries and Scorpio. So there's different kind of possibilities for that. And in the deepening exercises, I created, I went way more in depth in terms of some other examples of some things you might want to do. But those are some possibilities. So, wow, we're still doing breakout sessions. That's right. I thought we were so far ahead of ourselves. But
I know.
Okay. Okay. So now we're going to go ahead and do a breakout, but this time I want to do it a little differently. I want to just take a moment while Kaylin, I want to just invite everyone for a moment while Kaylin is reading the questions, that if you do not wish to be part of the breakout sessions, that you would leave the call for the next 10 minutes, or I don't know how else. You could raise your hand, actually. That could work if you want to raise your hand, if you don't want to be. Because what happens when we have two people is that if somebody leaves, if you don't have your stuff together, and this just is how it happens sometimes, it will happen this way sometimes, then your partner ends up with no one. So hopefully that won't happen this time. and again, it's not anybody's fault. It's just the way that this all works. But so if you don't want to be in a group, in a room, if you're not ready to raise your hand, and I won't put you in a group. Otherwise, I'm going to assume that you want to be put in a group. So, Kaylin, you want to?
Yeah, I'll just say if they're not in a group, okay. I guess then they would be with us, because we're
if you're not in a group, you'll be with us.
Yeah. Yes. So some people will want to share when they're
okay.
With us.
Nancy wants to be with us.
Okay.
Okay, Nancy.
Okay, so as Tammy is putting people into breakout groups, these are the questions to consider. You can look at all of them or just the one that speaks most to you that you'd like to talk about. And these are the questions that we've come up with, and that is, what useful insights have I gained in understanding the relationship with my ancient goddess, the moon, and my new goddess, Venus? So basically what we're doing when we're doing the breakout sessions is going back to the class prior that we just did, because you've had time to kind of be with it for a week and think about it and perhaps have some additional insights that come through. So what would those insights have been, and how have they been helpful or informative to you? So you could answer that question. You could also look at if Venus is your leading edge, or is the moon the one that's dominating your experience? And that's a really great question to tune into, because ideally Venus is the leading edge. It's the thing that we're doing two-thirds of the time, and the moon is one-third of the time. Now, if you've got moon and Venus in the same sign, then it's not quite so clear, but you'd want to be doing the new Venus or the new energy of Venus two-thirds of the time, and tuning into the skill set that you have with your moon one-third of the time. And that's true of both, you know, whether it's in the same sign or not, that would be true. And then the last question, what further actions can I take to come into healthy relationship with my moon and Venus? You can answer one of those questions, or if you have time, you might start with one and give everybody a chance to answer one, and then if you have more time, you can answer another one. But you pick the one that feels the most juicy for you. So are you ready, Tammy?
I'm ready. I'm totally ready. So what you're going to do is remember that you need to join, click to join, or you'll be told on the phone to join. And I'm about to open all rooms, and you're going to have about, what do you think, Kaylin, 5 minutes?
Sure.
Maybe six. I'm going to say 6 minutes. So you've got 3 minutes apiece and just a little more spaciousness. So we're going to open the rooms now. Okay. And this means that as soon as you join,
and then you'll disappear.
You will disappear. And we will get Melody and Nancy, which is wonderful.
Yay. So we'd love to hear your answers to one of those questions, or I guess we could start with you, Nancy. And Melody, you can't.
Wait, I have to unmute. Shoot. I've got to unmute everyone. Everyone's muted. Oh, my gosh. End muting.
Okay.
Oh, no. That's not what I wanted to do. Okay. We're going to start. All right. All participants are unmuted.
Oh, great. Awesome. So, Nancy.
Well, thank you for addressing the old and the new together. And it is, I felt like I couldn't really say anything real meaningful to anybody at this point because I'm still totally feeling into it. And, you know, especially something like Aries, which is so immediate, you know, it's a really fast, it's a fast burning flame, Aries is. And it's hard for me to separate them out, but I would say that I am in my moon a lot of the time when I can have a really, I can be snappish, you know, and very aggressive, and I'm not even aware that I'm being that way. And this is, I get my job, you know, when that, with being an ICU nurse, you know, that Aries moon and Venus really come into play a lot. But that work has also been very good for me to learn to be assertive, because I was not raised as a young girl to be the Aries archetype. I think you know, my chart's got all the squares and oppositions and everything, so it's taking me a long time to get there. So I would hope my Venus is my leading edge when I'm really into my Cancer ascendant, you know, to be actively caring for people, you know, that kind of thing. And I can be a strong advocate, you know, and take that warrior edge and be a strong advocate for, my best example is in my job.
Right. That's awesome, Nancy. Yeah, and you do have a lot of Aries. It's not surprising. And my daughter, who's a triple Aries, she's gotten better, but she used to just bite people's head off, like, you know, whatever was going on for her, she just looked like, you know. And then, she's a Pisces sun, so she'd look at their hurt face and then she'd feel bad. She's like, I hate being Pisces.
One more brief thing, because I don't want to use too much time, but, you know, having the Taurus sun too is really interesting, because I think sometimes my Aries gets away from me because it just feels good.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's a really great insight.
Yeah. So, Nancy, what do you have on your moon? Do you have Pluto on your moon, or do you have? I can't recall.
I have both with Moon and Venus, because they're conjunct. I have Saturn opposite, Neptune opposite, Uranus square, Chiron square, and Pluto trine.
That's right. Wow. Yeah. So that Aries. If that were my chart, I might just be like, okay, this is the chart of someone who has this Aries mastery, but has had the Aries mastery in all of these periods of time where it's been so squished, so repressed, that this is the lifetime where she gets to just do it. Even though there's all this pressure, all this other energy, it's for you to just bring her out. You know, like, bring her out of her cage. All the guides and allies, as you get older and as you let her out, are there to support you in it, not block you from her. But, wow, that's powerful.
So, Melody, how about you?
Melody, yeah, hi, Melody. I'm Melody soon.
That's my Aries. I have an Aries moon and a sun and a Mercury, and then I have a Gemini Venus. And what, actually tonight when we were dancing and exploring the sun and Venus, since my moon is the same as the sun, I remembered at one point in my shamanic exploration that I discovered I had like a shadow power animal, and it was a shark. And tonight I was like, oh, now I get that. Because I have that same, I used to rip people to shreds with words. I mean, really badly. And I probably still do occasionally, but you know, I made a boyfriend cry one time. I mean, I just really, you know. And so, and that's the Gemini, Venus, and Aries, Moon, and Sun, I think. It's that warrior kind of attack thing, and you're using words, you know. It's kind of a really bad combination at the bottom level. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a hard combination, except that I think Aries is can be playful, and, you know, Gemini is kind of a joker. So I've always been a practical joker all the time. I mean, since I was a kid. So, you know, maybe there's some of that, you know, that. But I'd probably go to my moon. Well, since I have Mercury and the Sun in Aries, it's hard for me to separate it out. But, so I do live a lot in Aries, I think. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to engage the Venus. I have at different points in my life, you know, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And then your Sun, what is your Sun again, Melody?
It's Aries.
Aries.
Your Sun is also Aries,
yeah,
right? Right.
Aries.
It's Mercury. Yeah.
Yeah.
The projection, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So it's kind of like for you, it's maybe like you said, sometimes it really shows up. Maybe it's like this hidden thing, or I mean, maybe it is like one of the most essential things to get in touch with her and live from her more. But
well, it's never been honored as a girl, right? I mean, I was always yelled at. You know, it's just not, that energy isn't for a girl in the time that I grew up, right?
So. The thing that strikes me about Gemini, at least from my experience of the Gemini moon, is I feel Gemini to be often very sensitive, very energetically sensitive. And I would imagine that to have so much Aries, but also have this aspect of self that's more light, that's more sensitive, is more energetically like tuned into all the different dimensions, that could be kind of an intense combination, but also could feel vulnerable to the Aries part to be that. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what, as you say that, maybe the Aries can help me with, like, you know, I'm a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly there's courage in exploring other realms.
Yes, and you are courageous there. You go there.
You know, there's been times really when I've had, you feel like you're under attack or whatever, but somehow there's never been, you know, like I just think I have that energy.
Maybe like the psychopomp with really good protection.
With the sword.
With the sword. Right. You know, there's also a way of looking at Aries and Gemini, because there's a lot of similarity between them. They like spontaneity, and there is a playfulness. Although with Aries, it's more competitive playfulness,
yes.
Whereas with Gemini, it's like, eh. You know,
yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like maybe Gemini, we could say Gemini is way out in front and, you know, about to cross the finish line, and then they stop short of the finish line and let everyone pass them up because it's funny, right? Because it would be, it's just, you know, they don't care. That's not the be all end all. Don't take it so seriously. Whereas Aries takes it pretty seriously. Like they would never not cross the finish line first.
Yeah. That's right.
Maybe it's about having the more playful Gemini part leading than that, like, you know, intensive Aries, got to get there first kind of thing.
Yeah.
One comment about that is that, you know, Aries is instinctively looking to crush the competition.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, that's an instinctive response. I think, you know, as an evolving archetype, you know, that's what you're trying to not do. You're not trying to be on that level. That's your instinctive response, you know, and so I would think with the moon in Aries, you know, that with your humor, you could crush the competition if you wanted to. And so to get out of that, to be not in that old archetype,
yeah,
is to just learn to recognize that, you know, when you're the instinct to compete, you know, or to
right. Well, I find it interesting being a Sag moon with Venus and Aries and a Pisces sun, because I don't feel, I think there's certain ways I can be a little competitive, but I don't feel like that's a leading edge for me, for sure.
Yeah.
That is definitely, I mean.
And that's your progressive self, see.
Yes, but it's also being influenced by Pisces, who's very compassionate and cares about everybody else. And, so it doesn't have the same intensity. It's just a straight Aries thing would be. So, very interesting.
Tammy, don't you have Aries
rising?
Is it rising?
I have Aries rising. The Gemini moon, Sag sun. Sag Venus. So for me, it's, I feel like it kind of depends on the period of my life where I've leaned more on the Gemini versus Sag.
Yeah.
You know, I do feel like I've spent a lot of time, after having my Gemini kind of crushed, I've spent a lot of time recovering my Gemini, I think. Mm-hmm. But there's a seriousness to the Sagittarius and the focus, I think, on the spiritual scholarship and that piece that I'm really working on.
Yeah.
Versus kind of being all over the place. That's part of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And also for me, I think the biggest shift is going from being so focused on the mind and bringing in so much information, and instead trying to go right to the core of the intuition and the knowing.
Mm-hmm.
That, for me, I think, again, has also been the biggest shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I think it's probably time.
I think so.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and close all rooms, and I'm going to mute everyone for now because just sound quality.
Thank you.
Great sharing, everybody.
Awesome. That was really nice. Okay. And we have lost some people. Okay, I'm going to unmute Kaylin. I'm unmuting you, Kaylin.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So, we're getting our people back. We have 17. Okay, great. So maybe, Kaylin, do you mind maybe unsharing your screen?
I thought I did. Does it say?
Oh, maybe you did. Okay, there you are. That's great.
Okay.
All right. So maybe we've got, we'll go 10 minutes or so with questions. If people want to put their hands up, then I will, if you've got any questions or comments.
Inside.
Then,
Mary had her earlier question.
What?
Mary had her earlier question too. Should have been, if the sun and moon are in the same element, Daniel has told me that the moon can use the energy of the sun to stay in the addicted way rather than move forward into the Venus energy. Do you find this to be true as well? Yes. Yes, definitely.
And then Mary also asked, if you have violated or blocked energy, can you successfully move and integrate your Venus energy? My earlier question should have been, if the sun and moon are in the same element, Daniel has told me that the moon can use the energy of the sun to stay in addiction.
Yeah, that's the one we just looked at, yeah.
I see. Sorry. I just didn't read the whole thing.
Okay. No, there was two different questions. So the one of a violated or blocked energy, can you successfully move and integrate your Venus energy? You really have to heal the blocked or violated energy in order to successfully move the Venus energy.
Don't you think? I mean, I think part of probably why Kayla and I feel so inspired to be doing this work, and I bet many of you as well, is that it feels like when you are, you know, many people who come to this work in the first place, like Nancy, for example, we were just speaking to you, do have a lot of aspects to the Venus or the moon, or we are expressing a version of the feminine that has been deeply oppressed or wounded. And so when we do that work, we are not just encountering our own, but we're encountering the collective experience of that goddess. So that makes it even more miraculous and amazing and powerful that as a collective we can support each other in breaking through those barriers, because it's not just for us. It's something that really supports the collective. It supports the emergence of the goddess at such deep levels.
It does. It's so true.
And we can sense that.
We do it for the generations to come.
And for the ancestors.
And for the ancestors, yes. And to shift those old patterns so that there's new ways of experiencing those energies. That are how, you know, the healed essence of where it's been blocked or violated.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you can raise your hand if you, anybody else has any questions. I've got Nancy. You're unmuted, Nancy.
Okay. I don't know if this question is suitable for the time that we're in, but in one of the deepening questions, maybe on the one that we just received, I don't know, suggested to go through and see how your gait may change on your different birthdays. And that was really interesting for me to look at. So there's two things. First of all, it was interesting because I am born at the eighth gate, but then my first Venus return through the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, until the one that I had in 2008, it moved back into the seventh, and then now it's moved back into the eighth. So,
wow.
So it doesn't have a real set way of moving. Yeah.
Well, and I think that happens when you're kind of right there, because you were born on the day of the eighth gate.
Right.
Yours is very unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my other question, though, is, and maybe, I don't know if you'll get around to this in this class, but I find it super interesting to look at the progressed Venus as well.
That'll be in an advanced class. We'll definitely look
at that. That would be in another class.
Yeah, an advanced class, because we don't have time, and we didn't really
have to touch it here.
And in fact, we weren't really going to do that question on the chakra gates, because it might be really confusing to a lot of people, but I just couldn't resist, because it feels like a fun exercise. So any of you listening, don't worry about it if it doesn't make sense. We will revisit it in advanced classes.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay. And Adam. Unmuting Adam. You're unmuted. Wait, no, you're not. Now you are.
Now I am.
Yes.
Maybe this is a question for the last class, but I guess I can't. I need to say it out loud or something. But, you know, like, I'm trying to, like, keep track of all these different elements, meaning overtone, star phase, the sign it's in, you know, all these different things. And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, what about the house it's in? And, you know, it's like, I guess I'm trying to, like, cause certain things I can, like, totally feel very obviously. And then other things, like, I'm like, am I missing it? Is it too subtle? Does this not apply to me? Yeah, so I guess I'm just maybe asking for, like, how do I, you know, sort through that a little bit?
It's a great question. I don't know. we're working on that, too.
Yeah, it's a good question. Adam, you know, I think, I don't know, because for you it's even more challenging. You know, it's challenging enough for us as women to say this is who we are, but for you it's even more subtle. But
right.
Maybe it helps just to consider that this whole time you're really in a process of not constructing, but maybe revealing this goddess who is an actual being, who is an actual
part of you.
Part of you, but even if it were mine, I might pretend she's not part of me for a moment, and just I'm creating her in a way in my imagination. I'm revealing her, and I keep feeling like it's something around an exercise to just paint her or write a poem, just do different exercises that bring in each of the elements, kind of like when you take all these different random words, the words that connect to the essence of each of these pieces, and scramble them. I mean, there are many different things you could do, but it's like you're trying to discover who she is. You're trying to get her to speak to you in a way that's really fully expressive of all of her nuanced aspects. So maybe this is just, I'm just wondering if keeping her a little bit separate as you do that might be helpful, so that then when you bring her in, she's really a full...
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're doing it the same way we're doing it, but then at some stage it pops in, like, it's like, okay, she's with me, she's in me, in a little bit of a different way than if you were a woman. I don't know.
Right. Just so, like, inviting curiosity that I don't know you 100%, let me get to know you better kind of approach or something like that.
And
just to kind of, like, because, you know, you had the three guys answer, you know, I let me just, like, turn it around. So, when, you know, do you feel that you project some of your son onto your Mars's question?
We were exploring that for sure.
Have you found it that it is true, or you don't? You're still figuring it out too.
Yes,
I think I do. Yeah, I think that I do. I think that I would project, I mean, if I get that combination, Scorpio and Sag, that's way better than, like, that's serious wild man in the woods. Like, that's a version of Scorpio that isn't as much connected to being in movement on the land, and that kind of expansiveness would not be as attractive to me as my beloved. So I feel like it's accurate for me.
I feel like I'm just feeling into it. And so, again, you know, what we're doing here has not been done before. The question that you're asking is a really good question, because we're still also feeling into it and working with it within ourselves. And I feel like I'm constantly having new insights and ahas that I'm working on integrating into my own experience of my Venus, as well as any other parts of my chart that I'd be working with. And I mean, one of the things that we're not doing in this class, but we are contemplating as something to do in an advanced class, is to bring Mercury into the story. Because in the story, Ninshubar, from the Sumerian perspective, is Mercury, and so how does Mercury fit into the story? That it's going to take some time to really come up with, like, the Mercury tables, so people can figure out where they are in the Mercury process, and, you know, to figure out how many classes do we need to really cover Mercury. So, but this is all territory that we're really just exploring more in depth now. So the we're figuring it out too. We're feeling into it, and we're figuring it out. We'll probably bring Mars into the story as well, and how does Mars and Venus interact, and that whole piece. So, yeah, we've got a lot of territory still to cover.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Adam. I'm going to actually unmute Melody now. Okay, Melody, you should be unmuted.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll just quickly ask. I remembered that I have Saturn opposite my Venus. And so any, you know...
That, we're going to cover that. Actually, we're going to do a class.
You Aries, you!
We'll be looking at all the... we'll be looking at the planets as teachers and guides. And the ones that are most... You know, that are connected to our Venus, not any other parts of the chart. We're just going to focus on the outer planets that are connected to Venus and what that's bringing in. And that'll be in two classes from now.
Okay. And I think I saw a note from Emma who wanted to know how to raise her hand.
Yeah. You can leave a message too. Emma, I'll unmute you after we're connecting in with Melody.
That's all you're good. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, that's so awesome. Okay, um, Emma, I just have to find you. It just takes a second. Okay, I'm gonna unmute you. Emma, you should be unmuted now. Yeah, you know, I wanted to get back to this blocked energy thing and I think that's a very, very important one, and I think we need to if people know people who help you unblock this type of energy, that this information is put out for us to use. I think this is a very important thing. And I wanted to tell to the person that was asking the question, Mary, go ahead and email me or call me sometimes this week, okay? You're welcome.
Wait, who is that?
That was Mary.
Mary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, great.
Cool.
Awesome.
That was everything, what I wanted to raise my hand for.
Thanks, Emma. That's perfect. So, I think, I don't think I see any more hands, and I think it's probably about time now to complete. Should I unmute everyone, and we can all say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you for showing up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Sweet dreams.